Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported in 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Station or diesel. Black smoke in a gasoline car typically indicates that too much fuel is being burned relative to the amount of air available for combustion.
The Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You've got me, Mr. Magnanimous. Love everybody.
So, you want to get high and listen to some record?
Jeff Lutz.
I'm not nice. Oh, please.
I think you're
on a mission to damage my credibility.
You're really a broken toy, aren't you?
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
I'm confused. I don't even remember, but I must have found it funny.
Hey, that figures, you know?
Yeah, sure does.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Your visit is always discreet.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, as normal. And here's Jason Duda making up the three-man booth. We have so much fun with it as the holidays approach. How you doing today, Duda?
Just fine. Thank you for asking.
That's it. Jeff?
Fine.
Here we go. We go. We're embarking on another exciting show with Jeff Lutz.
What are you talking about?
Well, I have something to say.
You asked me how I was.
Well, tell us a little bit.
Fine. Thank you. There's a little, very little bit.
Have you been whiny the last few days, Jeffrey?
I don't think so. Have you?
No. I'm just asking because it seems like your dad's a little upset with the way you've started today.
He thinks I've been angry.
I didn't. You don't have to interrupt me, sir.
Didn't that anger?
Yeah, you're kind of jumping the gun there. I was just...
You came in with a little bit of an attitude... I'm fine, as always.
I came in with an attitude. I came in and was petting with Misty.
Yeah, but now look at you. My headset's right here, dummy. There was that, and then...
Do you make stuff up in your head and then just
That's kind of what it sounds... You might as well have said that.
Oh.
Well, he did imply that I was kind of dumb.
Right.
But I didn't take it personally.
Yeah, and I don't have to imply it, because if that's what I was thinking at the time, I would have said it to you.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
so now you're just tactless.
Maybe
you're just
going to
call somebody a dummy.
Well, he didn't really call me a dummy. He implied.
But I'm saying he said he would have if he was thinking it.
It may have looked like I was sitting on him from the angle he was at, but I wasn't, because I could just pick him up.
Well, he made that clear, so I didn't say anything else about it.
And it was over. Like, it was that easy.
I didn't know it registered with you that way.
Well, it just seemed like an unnecessarily tense interaction. And no one wants to get us started off of that foot.
Grumpy pants.
Absolutely not.
Aren't you still happy from eating Thanksgiving?
Eating Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving food.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm still eating it. So it's
great. Really? You've got leftovers this far?
I had three of them. Three Thanksgivings.
Well, we had two.
I had three.
Well, we had three. Jeff didn't offer any leftovers. But the meal was good.
We didn't cook much of it. Like, the leftovers we had were stuff other people brought. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm sure you could have asked to take some. We just finished off our turkey. We had about 6-7 bowls of turkey noodle soup, which was just fantastic.
That does sound
good. Some of the best stuff my wife has ever made.
The only good turkey we had was at your place. And, you know, I'm not a big dark meat turkey guy. I'm not interested. It's all about the turkey breast for me, the chicken breast. That's what I want.
Okay.
I want the white meat. You understand?
We had that, right?
Yeah.
We had both, I think.
Yeah, I'm not a big big dark meat guy.
Oh, I like
so how many places
you
did
like
you
that?
Go?
Yeah, I like them both.
That's your preference?
Look at me. I like them both.
But is it your preference?
I like dark meat after when the cookie's cooked, and then after for sandwiches, I like the white. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I like white on my sandwiches I make after.
Believe it or not.
I like dark when the turkey is cooked.
Do you treat your leftover turkey, as far as sandwich goes, do you treat it just like a cold cut? You go with the lettuce, tomatoes, or do you do something different since it's a little different texture?
Super plain.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Mayo, salt and pepper, turkey.
Yeah.
Done.
That's it?
I feel that.
That's probably the way to go.
Probably a good idea.
And with the ham, I use a ham sandwich. My wife makes a homemade mustard. You've had the mustard, I think.
Oh, she sent some to me.
Again? Yeah. So that, and that's it.
Yeah, it was delivered.
Simple.
How nice.
Very good pie she made. I told you to tell her. I'm not sure you did. You said you weren't going to tell her.
I didn't.
Well, that's too bad.
She's listening right now, so now she knows.
I'd like her to know it's appreciated.
Chex Mix was good, too.
Yeah, I didn't get much of that.
Neither did I. Jeff got most of it, especially.
I still found a couple Cheez-Its later. It's bizarre.
No way.
It's crazy.
Well, listen, it was good. Everything was good. And now we'll get ready to see what Dia has in store for me coming up on Christmas.
Oh, jeez. I can only imagine.
Well, you never know.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
And birthdays.
So last night, a really good night of college basketball. Unfortunately, Marquette, Iowa State, you had to go to ESPN Plus to watch, which is ridiculous. But I watched a good chunk of it.
Well, you just said yesterday that there were like 7 or 8 really good games. Some of them are going to have to be relegated.
Yeah, I hear you, but that's the best.
Streaming only.
That's 2 top 6 teams. You'd like to think that you could get
two top six teams in Milwaukee and Ames, though. It's like you're going to get that Duke-Auburn game on national.
Well, no question. Duke-Auburn's going to be on national TV. And Duke won that game. And
correct.
KU went down on that game was televised on Fox Sports.
FS1.
And KU just never got it going against a Creighton team at home in a great atmosphere. Made me miss that building. Covered some really, really exciting and loud games there. And Wichita State Creighton, when you think of the rivals that Wichita State's had through the years, that's got to be number one.
Or Tulsa.
Creighton's got to be number one.
Creighton over Tulsa.
Yes, sir.
Huh.
I'm not a basketball guy, but I would say it was Creighton while I was here.
Yeah. Tulsa back in the 80s.
When I was here.
But the Creighton rivalry was a snapshot. It was basically Altman and McDermott versus Greg Marshall. Maybe a little bit of Turgeon in there. But, yeah, I would say Turgeon.
Some of the best moments of that were the Turgeon era.
4 coaches. It's just a snapshot of a 15-year period. Tulsa was a rival for decades.
No, they were really a strong rival when Nolan Richardson and Gene Smithson were coaching. Now that was, they should make a documentary about that.
Maybe they will someday.
That would be unbelievable. And then J.D. Barnett had a little something to say about it all. But really, only for a few years was Tulsa-Wichita State a real big, heated rivalry.
Okay, well,
and
Creighton-Wichita
State was a real big, heated rivalry for 20
years. Yeah, I feel like, here's what I feel like. Yes, it was. There's no doubt about that. But if it had been another team that was also good in the Valley at the same time. It didn't have to be Creighton. You know what I'm saying? It could have been Northern Iowa. If those were the two top 25-type teams in the conference. With Tulsa, it was purely regional. That was a real, like, we hate you rivalry just based on what uniform you're wearing. Creighton is because they were good.
Well, no, I disagree.
Okay, go.
Creighton's a great regional rival, too.
It is, but when you think of Wichita, you think of Oklahoma
Omaha
City.
And Wichita are natural city
I've
rivals.
I've never heard of that before.
Just as Wichita and Tulsa.
Yeah.
Wichita's not a real strong rival of Cedar Falls, Iowa. Okay?
I don't think it's that strong of a rival of
you
Omaha.
Dig, Duda?
Wichita's rivals are Oklahoma City, Tulsa, and Kansas City.
And Omaha.
No.
Yes.
Omaha, no.
Absolutely.
I don't agree.
The Creighton-Wichita State rivalry was also bolstered by other sports, like baseball. Huge.
Sure.
Huge. You can't win this argument.
I have already won the argument.
I think you're doing okay.
Just by participating in it, I've won it.
Volleyball. Tulsa's never been a rival in anything other than men's basketball.
I don't never. Think that's right.
Give me another one.
Track.
Idiot. Next.
You said give you another one.
Right.
And I did.
And that's wrong.
Is it?
Yes.
You have proof?
Yeah, my career, my living through it all.
Yeah, but you didn't follow a lot of Tulsa track, be honest.
Who did?
Exactly.
But do you see where I'm saying? Creighton and Wichita State in everything.
Snapshot.
They were almost always at the top of the Valley in every sport.
Right.
And
that's why Creighton got an invite to the Big East.
Creighton got an invite to the Big East because it's a private school, Jesuit private school. Wichita State is not. That's why they didn't get invited to the Big East. One of the reasons. The major impetus behind the Big East was private, religion-based schools.
Fine. But Creighton still went.
Right.
Not based on just being a private school. Based on having success
in athletics. You want to weigh in on any of this? Because I feel like I'm arguing with a stone wall. A guy who would just argue to argue.
He wants to argue his point, so this is what he does. I can actually appreciate that. I don't know if I agree.
What do you agree with? Did Omaha ever have a team in the CHL?
No.
Basically, for you, it was Oklahoma City and Tulsa.
Well, sure.
As your Wichita rivals.
Right.
I'm thinking
Omaha
about.
Omaha didn't have a team.
Right. There you go.
When Omaha and Wichita had AAA baseball, Omaha was a rival. Not a big rival because it's AAA baseball.
Yeah, there's no such thing as AAA rivals.
Oh, there is.
No, there's not.
Wichita had one with Tulsa, too.
See? Thank you for proving my point.
But the rivalry with Tulsa and Wichita State is nowhere near what Wichita State Creighton is.
All right.
Look what Tulsa's become. A nothing.
Well, look what Wichita State has become.
They've had moments. They've had a lot of moments in the past 20 years. Right now, they're figuring out what they are.
And what are they?
Wichita State has dropped to nowhere near the depths of Tulsa. And if you're saying that, you need to go have your head examined because you're not a Lutz. You're some idiot mailman, son, because I'm not going to tolerate it.
Oh, okay. There you have it. The hammer was dropped. Do you have anything to say, Jeff?
Not really.
Oh, he's looking up something.
Well, that's all right. It's okay to look up something.
Yeah, I'm seeing how bad Tulsa really got.
When it was...
They were bad for 3 years.
No, they've been pretty bad for a long time.
No, they haven't. Here are their records in the last 20 years, or 19. 20-11, 25-14, 25-11, 23-12, 19-13, 17-14, 17-16, 21-13, 23-11, 20-12, 15-17, 19-12, 18-14, 21-10, and then they went 11-12 in the COVID year, 11-20, 5-25. They were 16-15.
And they're not very good, and they haven't been good for a while. And they've certainly been nowhere near what Wichita State was.
But they haven't been bad.
They're not very good.
Have they made the tournament in the last 20 years?
Have they made the tournament?
I don't remember if they have.
They made it in 15, 16, and 13, 14.
And they were ousted quickly.
In 02, 03, 01, 02, 99. They used to make it a bunch.
How many times has Creighton made it?
A lot more.
Thus, Creighton being a much bigger rival.
Well, I would agree with on the basketball, that's what I would say. Because I wasn't here for all those years either, younger. But when Creighton was here, Creighton WSU basketball was a huge rival. Now, when it comes to everything else, I can't say that I think that they would
baseball
be.
Huge.
Because when I think, that's fair. I wasn't around. I wasn't here.
Volleyball,
so I don't know.
Pretty good.
But when I think of more rival stuff, I think of Oklahoma City Tulsa, but that's just because playing in the Central Hockey League, those were your two rivals. So Omaha never really got to on that side of things.
Yeah,
well, that's where I stand.
Too.
Well, I don't know.
And I know it's important that everyone understands
that. I don't know what you needed to add there.
Well, I added quite a bit. It was,
not really.
It was really good content from someone that wasn't
it
here.
It was walking the fence content.
When someone who just got here in 96, 97. That's how I see it.
Well,
that time on.
That's a great job of straddling the fence.
Was Creighton a Wichita State rival in 1999 when Creighton went to the tournament and Wichita State finished 6-12 in the league? Were they rivals then?
Yes, because I remember a game up in Omaha where Wichita State was awful. Went up there and played them, and it was a really good game, and Paul White was a factor in that game.
That was before 98, 99.
Yeah, a little before.
Like 7-8 years.
I'm just saying, and anybody would agree with me. Anybody who knows anything.
Well, on the
on this one.
And on the Creighton side, Wichita State was their biggest rival.
Creighton's biggest rival?
Of course.
They were. More than Nebraska?
Of course.
If you say so.
I was lucky enough to spend a lot of time with Bruce Rasmussen back then, who was the AD.
You were lucky?
He's a great guy.
How'd you know Rass?
I met him out through some guys out at the course. And so when he come in, I'd hang out with them the whole time. I mean, I got probably 5 Creighton shirts in my closet.
He's a good man.
Because he sent them to me for Christmas presents and would always send me Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving.
And of course he told you.
When I talk to those guys, they're like, they couldn't wait to play WSU. That was it. On the calendar, that was the one that was circled. So when it comes to basketball, I think that's a no-brainer.
Do you think anybody's ever
a no-brainer? It's why are we even having this discussion? Because this hard-headed fool won't just say, you know what, I don't know why I'm saying this. I should just shut up and not say anymore.
Do you think anyone's ever said, I was lucky enough to get to know Jeff Lutz pretty well over?
No.
No, probably not.
Especially not after this conversation.
I wish somebody described themselves as lucky to know me. Text me if you feel that way.
Oh, there's David Michael on.
I don't know if he listens anymore. He's kind of bailed on us.
Well, no wonder.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know what deal is. Haven't heard from him during the show for a while.
I'm surprised Ron Baker hasn't texted and said, Jeff, are you nuts?
Yeah, where is Ron Baker on this
of
one?
Of course Creighton was
but
the biggest
during his
rival.
Year, of course Creighton was the biggest rival.
They were for 20 years.
Sure. When did they leave for the Big East? Was that during Ron Baker's tenure?
My last
tenure?
Year at the Eagle.
So it was he played Creighton all 4 years or five.
Yes.
Okay.
And knocked down dragouts. Hotly contested.
Ron doesn't usually text when he disagrees with me, so.
Well, no wonder he's gone. No wonder he's gone silent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I opened myself up to that one.
He doesn't text me when he disagrees with me. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I opened myself up for that one.
Yeah, you did.
But Ron,
let me tell you, every Shocker fan disagrees with
you. As tight as Ron and I are, I think we've reached the point where he can dissent a little
bit. Were you just saying this today just to be a dissenting voice, to borrow your word?
No, I like exploring topics. I don't like
start to explore.
I don't like going just straight black and white. I like talking things through. I'd rather talk things through and be what you call what you call wrong, and I just call educated. But I'd rather talk it through. And
you needed to be educated about the Shocker's biggest rival.
I'm educating others.
And how?
Having the conversation. Like, no one gets anything out of, well, Creighton was their biggest rival. Okay, probably a lot of people agree with that. But if we don't explore other possibilities, then there's no context. And we just say, okay, well, Creighton.
So you're willing to make yourself look like a buffoon.
No, I'm willing to educate.
To educate.
In order to.
So you're the teacher who. Can you believe this idiot?
No, I encourage others to think more deeply about different topics. And if we just say, well, it's Creighton, then we have, okay, well, we'll take a break. It's 2:03. We'll figure something else out.
No, we'll talk about why.
Not as interesting.
My goodness.
I'd rather do the critical analysis.
Okay, there is really no critical analysis.
Oh, it feels like we just had it.
Yeah,
and you're welcome.
You being thrown under 15 buses.
Ron?
You had no chance.
No tax at all from anybody.
And nobody's defending you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
In fact, you right now, amongst our listeners, however many there are out there, I don't know, a few thousand, I don't know how many are listening right now, but amongst all of those people, your reputation has been soiled.
Who cares? I think
well, you should care.
You just said you wanted someone to talk to you about. I was lucky to know him.
Yeah, that's different.
So how do you not care then?
Reputation is what outside forces think of you. Your inside, your circle, that what they think of you.
Who's in your circle?
Oh, there's a lot of people.
Your wife and daughter.
Jason.
Who's
Jason Duda?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I would say he's in the circle.
Am I?
No.
Is my wife?
She's working on it.
Who is?
My wife.
And whoever else is texting.
And Jason.
When he asked.
And Ron Baker.
Now, your wife would definitely agree with you only because you said it. She wouldn't know. But if Jeff says it, it must be true.
Now, don't portray her like that. My wife disagrees with me all the time.
Not on these kinds of things.
Well, she doesn't care about.
Then how is she in your circle?
She's in my circle.
Here we go. We've got a good show for you today. Joe Auer, the head boys basketball coach at Wichita Heights.
He always does this.
Will join us at 2:25 right after the break. At 2:45, Martin Shetler from Andover High. We'll talk with him about the Trojans. We've got picks coming up, hour number two. I am right back in it, folks. You guys dropped the ball in a big, big way last week.
Yeah, I had the Raiders down, too, and I just changed it at the end. Yeah, well, it makes it more fun this way.
Yeah, there you go.
Not really concerned.
Yeah, you're falling apart.
Bah.
Back with Joe Auer after this.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 90s.
We are with Joe Auer, the head boys basketball coach at Wichita Heights. They're coming off consecutive second place finishes in Class 6A after winning the year before that, a remarkable run. Joe Auer, welcome. How are you?
Great, Bob. Hello, Jeff. Jason, thanks for having me on today.
Thank you.
We're always happy to have you on. And you've got another very good team. TJ Williams graduated. He's currently at Wichita State. But really, everybody else is back. You're kind of locked and loaded. Do you have any room for – is there any newcomer that's making a case for himself?
Well, we returned four starters. Malachi Wilkins, Chase Robinson, Avon Moulet, and Jalen Timmons. So the other guys in our top 10 were all guys that played in our JV program and played a little bit of varsity. So everybody that will contribute, earned their way up through the ranks and ready for their opportunity to be a part of hopefully another successful Falcon season.
So we talk to the Wellington girls coach a lot, and we always talk about how their season, probably one way or another, will come down to how they play against Bishop Miege in the state tournament. It's only been 1 year, but I feel that way sort of about Heights and Shawnee Mission Northwest. How much have you thought about your game against them last year and thinking about how you might attack them or how a team could be successful against a team like that that has – 7-footer and guys that are 6'5" playing on the wing?
To be honest, we've thought about them a lot simply because it was our last game, and when you're that close, it hurts and it stays with you. And so we thought about a lot of, and they return everybody. So, the two teams in the 6A state championship, 9 of the 10 starters are back this year. And they were a very unique team with a 7-foot-1 center that's only going to be a junior this year, 7'1", 245 pounds. He's got a kid named Ethan Brown Ethan Taylor that has offers all over the country. Their point guard is signed with Illinois. A tremendous team, but I think most importantly, we're just thinking about ourselves and what we have to do to get better. And we shot the three very poorly. They really hadn't played any zone all year and made a late decision to do that against us. We had success all year against teams that played zone, but on that particular day, we just got stagnant and didn't shoot it well. So we've watched that film a lot. Talked about how to get better, and I don't think that the problems we encountered on that particular day will get us again.
Joe, the guy that's been around and has as much success as you've had, how long is it before you kind of know exactly what you have? Is it in the summer? Is it just before you start? Or do you need to play those first few games? Or is it even maybe the midseason tournament kind of thing? When do you kind of have a really good idea on what you need to tweak or where you're going to be at for the season?
Well, I think that comes in a couple of waves. With the rule changes over the last 10 years, 15 years, we're able to work a lot in the summer. We play in the league, and then we also travel, and we played teams from 4 different states in a tournament in Kansas City. So we played about 12 games as a team this summer that I could coach. We practiced 3 days a week. So you have a pretty good feel for what you're capable of leaving your summer session. But I think it's really the mid-season tournament where you truly find out, because high school basketball is a grind. It's 6 days a week. It's a 4-month-long season. 2 games a week. So who can hold up to the physical wear and tear? A lot of kids, they play a lot of basketball in the summer, but they don't practice a lot of basketball. They're not held accountable via film watching and coaches that are paying really close attention to detail. So you know, the mental side of the long season, scouting reports, how you adjust to how people are guarding you and attacking you. I think it takes about 10 to 12 games to get a good feel for how your group that particular year is going to handle that. So I think, like I said, you've got a decent feel for your talent level and your abilities at the beginning of the year because of the summer session. But as far as how good a team you can be, I don't think it's till after the midseason tournament, Jason.
Joe, our guest, the winningest coach in City League basketball history. So I'm going to ask you a question. I don't think I've ever asked you this question, but I thought about it earlier today when I was texting you to come on the show. You've been a teacher as well as a coach for many years. Are you still teaching? You retired from that, correct?
I retired from the classroom after the 22 school year. So this is my third year out of the classroom and just coaching.
My question still pertains.
For 34 years.
So, yeah, you taught a long time, and you taught government and history. Nobody probably ever called you to come on a radio show to talk about teaching government or history. A lot of people probably call you to get your thoughts on basketball and coaching. Is that right? Is that how it should be?
That's a good question. No. Yeah, you would think that there would be. I kind of compare that to attendance at basketball parent meetings versus attendance at student-teacher conferences. Our basketball parent meeting is a full house. Everybody's there. They're there early. They stay late. Parent-teacher conferences, if I had 150 students in a semester, I was maybe seeing 20 families. So, I think there's a little bit of a misguided focus there, especially when it comes to local politics. I mean, everybody has something to say about national elections, and, you know, the recent Trump versus Biden election. But who can tell you about what's going on with the local school board, the city council, the county commissioners? I mean, most politics are local. And, I would venture to guess that many people in our community couldn't even tell you where the school board meets at or what night they meet, let alone who their local representative is. So
I'm sitting with two of them.
Oh, I know.
Well, I wish there was more of that. And, Bob, you worked for the Wichita Eagle for a long time, great career. And unfortunately, it's really difficult to get current news. I mean, local news coverage, I think it's one of the biggest crises that our local communities face is, you know, how do you stay updated? How do you find out what's going on? It's just like it, you know, local sports now, Bob. I mean, when I started coaching, we had always had a reporter at a game. Every team was covered. The story was in the paper the next day. You know, Andover Central wins the state football championship. I don't know if I've read anything in the Eagle about it since it happened. I mean, I think they.
It's unfortunate, no question about it. That's why we, on this show, we try to highlight high school sports as much as we can.
Really appreciate that.
I'm curious, Joe, we've talked a lot about the shot clock. What do you think the conversation will be about the shot clock after this season ends? Because it's not only you're not going to use it in the postseason, it's also that not everyone is using it. And I saw the list today. Obviously, all the City League schools are, but there's like four schools in 6A who aren't using it. And the number grows as the classes get smaller. Those schools are going to have to like adjust to like playing Manhattan and then Manhattan's. It's just so weird. How do you think we'll be evaluating this a year from now?
Yeah, they're calling this an experimental year, and you know, we'll use it all season. Most of the, as you said, Jeff, most of the 6A, 5A schools will do it. And then it goes away for the postseason, which, you know, we're all going to have to adjust to that, unfortunately. But I think we'll have it. It'll be a universal part of our game next year. There's strong support for it all across the country. The National Federation approved it, gave associations the opportunity to adopt it. Our coaches association has been asking for it for a long time. So I think it's coming, and I think it'll be everywhere next year. You know, there's a cost involved with that for some smaller communities. Most of the gyms we play in already had a shot clock. They just weren't using it. So, you know, this will offer a buffer zone for gyms to get updated. And, you know, in our case, we're hiring an additional person to run that clock, but, you know, that's not that large of a cost. So I, to answer your question, I think it'll be everywhere next year. And the next big change in our game, just to keep up with how basketball is played everywhere else, will probably be the half circle, you know, as far as taking charges. And that's something we've been asking for a long time as well. You know, we're adding three games next year. So, you know, improvements are being made, but I think everybody will have the shot clock next year after this experimental year.
Well, Joe, you'll be out to talk to some of our folks at our Passion Project on December 28th. We really appreciate that. Look forward to it. I would love to read a long profile piece about you at some point. I think that would be very interesting.
I've been waiting to see one on them.
I've heard there could be something in the works somewhere, but we'll see what that happens, Joe.
Was a local journalist that sat down for a rather lengthy interview not too long ago, but he will not be named this time. But yeah, I haven't seen anything on that, Bob.
What a jerk that guy is.
No, I think he'll get to it.
He's a great young man, but hey, everybody's busy. Everybody's busy.
They're not that busy.
Joe, you're a good sport. We appreciate your time. We always enjoy talking to you, and best of luck.
Thank you, Bob, Jeff, Jason. Go Falcons. Guys, have a great day.
There you go.
Thank you.
Joe Auer.
You too.
Head boys basketball coach.
You just got to make me feel like the worst person alive, don't you? Appreciate that.
No, you're not the worst person alive.
Thanks.
You know, I'll just reiterate what I've said a million times. That would be a great, well-read story.
Yeah.
And Joe deserves it, frankly. So
no
I hope,
kidding.
I hope it happens. That's all. I hope it happens.
Well, I've got some time off around Christmas. I'll see if, I don't know. We'll see.
What do you think, dude?
Do my best.
Well, I don't know. Happen? I don't know what he's talking about. If who were we talking about a specific?
You know, we've talked about it many times.
Of course, he does.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It'll happen.
He'll get her done.
Always good to talk to Joe Auer. We'll come back and talk some more high school basketball with Martin Shetler, the boys' coach at Andover. They have high hopes again for another successful year. Don't forget, 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. Here's Martin Shetler from Andover, the boys' basketball coach. Martin, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. So you've been right in the mix of it in Class 5A for a while now. You were expected to have pretty much all your team back, at least your starters back, but you lost a couple players due to transfers. What are you expecting? What do you like about this team?
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of guys back. We lost one senior really with Blake Rucker, who was our leading scorer and scored a lot of points for us, and is at Barton County now. And then Quincy Bradford was also a starter for us last year, and his dad Nick Bradford took a job with the women's program at Arkansas, so we lost him. But other than that, we're bringing back a lot of guys that played a lot of minutes last year and had a lot of experience. Josh Kim's our point guard. He's been a varsity player for 4 years and been a starter for – this will be his third year as a starter. So looking for good things out of him, but we got some guys that are going to step up and play some bigger roles this year, and excited to see what they can do. A lot of juniors and seniors that are kind of been waiting for their time, and this should be the year for them.
I know a lot of these transfers have –
legitimate reasons, and guys will leave for, you know, they just moved. But are you starting to prepare for that more as a coach, knowing, you know, that there are things in place where kids can move, you know, more liberally? Is that something now that you're having to start to deal with a little bit more, that maybe there's going to be more roster turnover from year to year?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, you see it at the college level, and it's kind of coming down to the high school level more and more every year. At Andover, we're kind of in a more unique position that we kind of close boundaries, kind of. I mean, we have the open boundary system now with the state, but we still have a pretty limited number of spots that we can have. So it's kind of hard to transfer into Andover. And we've been lucky enough not to have a lot of guys transfer out here lately, but for sure, I see it on other rosters of teams we play. And we're getting ready to play Derby, and I know they have a couple of new guys that we don't really know much about. And some of the other teams we look at, and some names we are not familiar with or haven't seen play there. So it is different. It is coming. It's kind of part of what our society is now, I guess. But it doesn't really. We're not really getting a lot of transfers into Andover. More of the kids moving out every once in a while.
Well, Coach, you had the summer to work with the kids and obviously getting started here. Where do you see where do you see your team right now, and what are you expecting?
Yeah, we had a really good summer. I thought we got better through the summer. We're a work in progress for sure. I'm sure most coaches will say that. We have a long ways to go before I think we'll be at our best, but I like what we've done so far. With Josh back, I feel like every night we have either the best player on the floor or one of the best players on the floor, so that's always a good thing to have. And then we got some other guys that can really shoot the ball and do good things. And excited about where we're at now. Our schedule doesn't do us much favors here early. We have to go to Derby tomorrow, and then we're at McPherson next week. So we'll get challenged right away and see where we're at. But I'm excited. I think by the end of the year we'll be playing well, and we have a good core of guys to play.
Martin Shetler is our guest. He's the head boys basketball coach at Andover. As he said, they open at Derby coming up tomorrow night. You talk about Josh Kim, and yesterday we had Northwest coach Andy Hill on, and he spent a lot of time talking about Eli Benning, his point guard. And to have a player like that, it gives you a head start on everybody when you have an experienced point guard, especially two of this quality. How much does that mean to the Trojans to have Josh Kim back kind of running the show on the court?
Yeah, it's big because Josh has been in every situation. He started as a sophomore on our state championship team, so he's been all the way through it. And then last year he was kind of one of our top guys and had to kind of change his game to be a scorer, and then this year again. And it's always when he's on the floor, the other guys kind of look to him, and they know that they looked at him to be a leader, and he does a good job with that. It's a big deal. It's comfortable for me. I mean, I've had Josh on the floor for 4 years now, so he and I have a really good relationship. So he kind of knows what we want to do, what I want to do, and it's easy to communicate with him. And I kind of let him have a feel for the game, and he calls stuff and does things. So it's a big advantage to have someone like Josh or Eli at Northwest is a big advantage for us.
So, yeah, you talked about the state championship a couple of years ago. Last year it was Highland Park. It felt like they couldn't miss a shot in that game in Emporia. I'm just curious, as a coach, what you take away, how you compare those kind of two different experiences. Obviously, you prefer winning and ending your season with a win, but do you learn as much from a year like that, or does it take maybe a hardship or two to really grow?
You know, last year was a good experience. Blake was our only senior last year, and he tore his ACL like 2 games before he went to state. So our younger guys really got a lot of experience playing in sub-state without Blake, without a senior, all sophomores and juniors, and then got a chance to play in that state game. And Highland Park was really good that night. But it was a good experience, even though we didn't get a chance to win or didn't get a win. I think it helps a lot for these guys to play in those situations, and then it helps it to make it not easier because it's never easy to get there, but it doesn't give you those experiences to get back there. And then once you're there, you kind of know what it's going to be like. So getting those guys a chance to play in that game and just be at the state tournament, I think, is a big advantage and for this year. And then a lot of those guys were sophomores last year that played in that game too. So I think for these next 2 years, they've already had that, seen what it's like and what it takes to get there is a big advantage that we need to take advantage of.
High school basketball is upon us. Andover opens tomorrow night at Derby. Martin Shetler has been our guest. Martin, we really enjoy talking high school basketball. Thank you for coming on to talk about your team.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks. There you go. I saw his son, Eli, who started his basketball career at Indiana State, left to go to Drake.
Really?
And they're unbeaten under Ben McCollum. Who went there from Northwest Missouri State, where he built an incredible Division II program, and he's done a fantastic job so far at Drake with three transfers from Northwest Missouri.
Yeah, that's interesting. You always have a little bit of a soft spot for Drake for some reason.
Why?
I don't know.
Long-time Valley member.
They're, like when they do well, because they were the doormat
for a long
time. I used to make
fun of Drake quite often.
And that's probably why.
I like
Drake.
Makes sense. Cleveland, Drake, same type
of
thing.
What's your deal?
I knew
you were in a bad mood today. I could see it from jump.
I was just saying. I mean, that kind of makes sense. That's where you gravitate to.
What about the Pacers?
They're bad too. I have an affinity. I have an affinity for all the old Valley guard.
Even Tulsa?
Sure. Drake, Bradley. Those schools have been in the Valley forever and ever.
Yeah, I've lost track of Bradley.
I think they're okay. As I said, Drake's undefeated. Let me look them up.
Why don't you?
Now you got me curious.
Well, you could just look at the Valley standings. That's probably what I'd do.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
You guys are so smart.
Good idea.
Bradley's 8-1. Belmont's 7-2. Drake hasn't played a Valley game yet. But they're undefeated. So some good teams. Murray State, 5-2. Belmont was a great addition. Illinois, Chicago, not so much. Evansville needs to go away.
Poor Evansville.
Valparaiso had some moments at one time, but boy. It's not a great conference.
Missouri State is going away.
They are going away. And who'd they replace them with? Have they announced that?
I don't think so.
Missouri State going to the Sun Belt, right?
Sounds right.
Or Conference USA. I think it's Conference USA. They want to play Division I football.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, they'll need it.
Well, in that conference, they might be. Who knows?
Just nobody really knows.
Nobody knows.
When you really think about it, nobody really knows.
Now, I don't know what Missouri State will do. I know that I enjoyed going to Springfield in my life, in my career.
Springfield's a nice town.
And it was always a treat to drive 4.5 hours to Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, that whole part of the state is just beautiful.
A great arena over there.
We saw the Eagles there.
We did.
It was a good experience.
They opened up that arena.
Yeah, they opened up a lot of arenas.
The JQH.
They opened up the Box Center
Arena. I don't know if it's still named that or not.
I'm sure it is.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back another hour. The three-man booth here today. Max Power back in the studio producing and engineering. No game from Duda today. That's tomorrow. But we will make picks.
Oh.
Coming up at 3:25. Anthony will join in along with Max, who both had pretty good weeks. But, boy, they got a long way to go to catch me.
Radio you can touch.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I'm certainly not going to sit here and be subjected to the assertion that our good friend Jason Duda is a legend.
I hear you loud and clear.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm not with you. Jason Duda, Thunder hockey legend. I love it. For today, anyway.
That would be terrific. That would be great, huh?
Terrific. That was terrific.
And Jason Duda, for today, anyway.
That is true.
I like it.
Woohoo!
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
And it's going to be legendary.
All right, as we get closer to the Christmas season, Jason Duda, who's here today as part of our three-man booth, is expected to arise earlier and earlier for your job, which entails getting packages delivered. We got a lot of transit right now as Christmas gets here.
There's a ton. We did 72,000 2 days ago, which is twice as much as throughout the summer.
How much do you think people get on their phone and order what they need now versus go shopping for it at an actual brick and mortar store?
I'd say probably 80%. I don't think that's high. I really don't think that there's not going to be stores anymore.
I order almost everything online. What about you?
I like to go out to stores occasionally. I go to the Hallmark store a lot for little stocking stuffers. I like that. I look around.
I used to love going to the stores. It's part of the tradition.
Not anymore.
Well, if you go to Town East, you might be surprised.
Yeah, Town East is popping. Town West is not. The lights are popping off, but that's about it.
Somebody needs to come in and get Town West back.
I think it's over.
It's gone. I agree with Jeff. Done. I don't know if it's ever going to come back.
Somebody out there.
Yeah, but once you've sunk to that level, you know, it's like.
They got a movie theater over there.
No one's motivated to do that.
By the way, I'm gonna make it my mission to get to a movie this weekend.
All right, let us know how it goes.
I got to make sure I go when nobody's there, though. And weekends seem to be a bad time.
Yeah, that's you're not
picking if people are there.
You're not picking the right date, that's for sure.
When's the last time you were in a theater? You go fairly regularly, don't you?
It's been a while since we went to one. But my wife and daughter Sunday went to Moana 2.
What about Wicked?
They don't want to go because they've heard everyone start singing in the theater and you can't hear as much, so they've decided they're going to wait and just wait till it comes out.
What did they think of Moana 2? Because that has gotten pretty terrible reviews.
Has it? They said it was pretty good. They enjoyed it.
I'll have to watch that at some point.
I like the first one.
First one's fantastic.
I'll watch the second one, but I wasn't going to go to the theater to watch it. But when it comes out, I'll watch it. I like the first
one. Now you guys are making me think I don't want to go to the theater.
Why?
Well, because you're not going. When's the last time you were in a theater?
Well, they just went
last year around this time. We went and saw Wonka.
I can't remember the last one.
Might have seen another one.
It's probably 3-4 months ago.
We drove on the way home from the Thanksgiving dinner at Jeff's. We drove past the Warren West, and there were a ton of people there.
It's doing
Thanksgiving weekend. Absolutely,
yeah. Be packed.
But I used to go, man. I used to be one of those people. Movies were, I built my life around them.
You're weird that way. When things in your life change, you feel like you need to get them back. Just like the Town West thing. Town West is over. No one's coming to save Town West. If you don't want to go to movies at the theater anymore, just let that happen.
Why can't you let me be me? Why are you always trying to influence? And
he's explaining you is all he's doing. You just don't like
it. You think I need an explanation?
Yeah, apparently you do.
Well,
because you're lamenting this...
quit using words I don't understand.
...absence of movies that you go to, but you don't seem that motivated to go, so just let it go.
He's got a point. I kind of agree with him on this. You were going to go, then someone says one thing, and now you're like, I'm not going to go.
I've got it in my head that I want to see Wicked. Because The Wizard of Oz is one of my favorite all-time movies, and I don't know. I mean, it's so amazing to me that 85 years after that movie was released, it still has this mesmerizing hold on American society. Isn't that fascinating to you?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. So I think you should go.
Isn't that interesting? Name another movie ever that's had this kind of massive popularity for this long.
I would say Slapshot. Maybe It's a Wonderful Life and Slapshot are the two.
Ron Baker, could you? I mean, what kind of a moron would say that?
Slapshot.
And I hate to use the word moron. I don't like it. It's a terrible word.
He said it. I just went along with it.
Yeah, because if he ever watches it, he would agree with
me. Yeah, we can't wait. We got that plan, too, for this weekend.
You haven't seen Slapshot?
No, we're going to plan it this weekend.
We made a deal like 3 years ago.
It was like two.
You got to watch Shorzy. And I said, I'll watch Shorzy if you watch Slapshot. He's like, okay. So I watched Shorzy, and he still hasn't watched Slapshot.
What year was Slapshot made?
70.
See? He won't do it.
79?
78, 79, somewhere
around
there.
He won't do it.
Well, he made a deal. Well,
Shorzy's just so good that why do I need to ruin my pop culture hockey experience with something else? Slapshot.
It's totally different, and yeah, you would.
I mean, it's been years and years and years since I saw it. I'd kind of want to go back and watch it again. I just know it was really funny and really off the wall and really irreverent.
Just
and,
like Shorzy.
Yeah, right. I mean, whatever. Shorzy didn't grab me.
Yeah, that's if you don't love the Hanson problem. Brothers,
it's a big
Jeff.
Problem for you.
Yeah,
you're supposed to
missing out.
What, Max?
If you can't love the Hanson Brothers, Jeff, then you. If you like Shorzy, yeah. You'll love the Hanson Brothers.
Yeah, there you
Maybe
go.
Maybe if I lie, I love Shorzy though. So,
Shorzy.
I heard they just wrapped season 4, but I don't know how accurate.
Why
that
can't
is.
I get into that?
Because you think you're a highbrow guy, and you won't see through the vulgarity and the language and stuff to get at the actual heart of it. And
does it have heart?
Absolutely,
100%.
Maybe I'll give it another shot. I just know I don't know.
You think you're not supposed to like it, so you won't even give
it
a chance.
No, it's not that. I don't go into anything thinking I'm not supposed to like it.
Yeah, but I know you. You'll hear the language or the...
Let me explain something to you, and let's get this right out there. You don't know
me. Yes, I do.
You don't know me at all. You don't have a clue.
It's a Don Henley
song. You know who you grew up with. You don't know this version of me.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
You're not that tough to figure out, my friend.
You have no clue.
Okay.
Oh... he's just like the man inside. Jeff's the man inside. He knows.
Of course I know.
He knows.
No, he doesn't. Jeff doesn't have a clue.
Spends 2 hours a day with you.
So?
He knows.
This you. Isn't me.
You don't want it. You just don't want to admit that Jeff probably knows you better than you think.
No, my wife knows me better than anyone.
Well, I would hope so.
And as I told her.
I think I probably know you better than she does.
No.
I don't know if I'd
ridiculous.
Go that far, Jeff.
Well, he
I was
exposes,
on your side for a while.
He exposes different parts of his personality to me that he might not expose to others.
Well, that's probably true. You're his son. That's just the way that works. It's a dynamic.
I know all the dynamics that he has.
Man, well, I've been on your side, but you're not going to know every single dynamic because the dynamic...
Pretty much all
him
of them.
Debbie, you're not really going to know that.
I know it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm sure he goes to his therapist and tries to talk about it. Am I right?
No.
Of course you do. That's the only reason you're in there.
You got main character energy right now. You need to back off.
Main character energy.
What does that
energy?
Mean?
That means that you think it all circles around you. You're the main character in the story, but you're not.
I'm the main character in your story. That's all there is to it. And it's been obvious for 40 years.
It has.
Sure it has.
What do you... You're a bad character, then.
Good.
You're an antagonist.
Okay.
And a lot of people would like to see you killed.
Oh, really? Is that a fact? Notice how I always give
the
that
villain
little chuckle.
Sure. He's the villain. That's
yeah,
what you're saying?
I like taking it a little too far at times.
You like to chuckle after you say something really vile.
Exactly.
Because you kind of mean it, but you don't.
Right.
Huh.
Interesting.
Well, listen. Let me tell you something right now.
Well, I can't wait for this.
When I go, and I mean go, that guy will be distraught.
For an hour or two.
Can you believe he says things like that?
Can I believe he says things like that? Yes. Yes, I can. I can believe it. Does he believe it? No, he just likes to say it. He likes to play the role, and that's okay. That's
a fun
right.
role to play, in my opinion.
See, it is an enjoyable role. And he does it actually kind of well. I have to give him a little bit of credit on that side.
He's all right.
He's Thank okay.
Let's get
a lot of nonsense, but he's okay.
Every now and then I strike gold.
Absolutely.
Let's get to Jim 35 quickly. Jim?
Very quick.
Quickly. Well, you reserve the time after 3 o'clock for callers, and you haven't had any callers, so I thought I'd give you a call. That was a super
That's true, Jim.
Interview with the Heights coach. But now for old
Thank
business.
Thank you, Jim.
Back for old
I appreciate that.
One night here on the 26th of November, I went to the Texas Roadhouse and was sitting outside for 3 o'clock. And the roll of dinner rolls came up. And I went in after hearing Bob's saying they're 1-5, and I don't know what 1-5 is.
No, I said that.
Oh, you said 1-5?
No, I said they're the best in Wichita. They have the best rolls.
You guys have a lot of listeners that go to the Texas Roadhouse Monday through Thursday on 3 o'clock early.
What about Friday?
They don't go Friday?
Well, they don't have a special on Friday. The specials are $10.99 on 3-4 on 3-5 on Monday through Thursday. But there was a lot
well, we're glad
of
we're glad you met some fellow listeners.
They were all, you know, you got some classy steak eaters that listen to your radio station.
That is our target audience.
Your
we
target
don't want vegans.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
You're
good
welcome.
To hear from you.
We like old people who eat steak at 3 o'clock. What?
Keep going.
That's it. That's what we
That's
like.
That's all you got?
Yeah. That's our target demo.
Well, listen, I love Texas Roadhouse, but when you talk about, I always go curbside pickup.
Well, because a lot of times at Texas Roadhouse, you got to wait forever to get in.
Yeah, there's
curbside pickup, you just put your time in there, you pull up in your car, you send them a text, they'll tell you when they're ready to bring it out.
I don't get curbside pickup. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I'm just explaining it to you.
Yeah, but I don't get the psychology of it. Going out to eat is the experience. I mean, I could whip up
the food is the experience.
No, it's not. I could whip up any of that at home. For the most part.
You could.
Can I make rolls like them? No, but
I'll make a filet.
I can have just as solid of a meal at home. Going out is the experience. Oh, I'll pick up. I have the mashed potatoes. Like, that's so dumb. So dumb.
What was that?
Dude, I want you to.
What just happened?
I don't know. I don't understand
I will agree. A little bit is the going out is the experience of it. But sometimes you don't have time or you don't want to go out. So curbside.
I don't want to go out. Do you know how many times I've been out to a restaurant? The thrill is gone, man.
I know, but that's all you do is get curbside pickup every day.
No.
Where are you going
today?
We go
out and meet people for dinner.
Where are you going today?
I don't know, but we go out all the time to meet people for dinner.
I'm going to put you in a home, and I'm going to feel so good about it because I bet they'll cook for you. And that will make me so happy.
You think that because you can cook the simplest things in the world that I'm sure everybody in your household is sick of. Look what I got. I got some chicken.
No, we make a lot of different things. But I'm just so glad that you won't have to go, nurse? I don't even have a punchline, so I'll stop. But you get it.
No, I don't get it.
I'd like to hear the end of this one.
Can you get the extra breadsticks?
I think it's great to go to Texas Roadhouse and pick up our food and come home and eat it.
That's so lame. Just lame. That's just a lame experience.
What do you think? Get off.
You're just getting. I don't think it's lame.
It's what's the point?
They give you smaller portions.
They give it to
really
you
in
a plastic
there.
Container.
Yeah.
I got to scoop it onto my plate, and then I'm going to go watch Lou Dobbs while I eat this. It's like, what are we doing?
Well, what's the difference?
At least be funny.
What's the difference if you make it at home? What's the difference then?
like I said, going out is the experience.
And I agreed. Going out is part of the experience.
Well, give me the experience of going out.
Well, just because you're there, you're out, there's people, you're sitting around, you're talking more. Usually, yeah, if
nothing
you go
about
out,
that's appealing. Next.
Not to you. And not to you, and that's fine that it doesn't appeal to you.
Is it appealing to you?
I enjoy it.
I love
you
going out.
You enjoy going out and talking to people?
No, you talk to
the
person
you're
with.
That's why you go out to eat.
I'm going to call your wife and ask her.
So you don't have to sit in front of the television.
When you guys go out to eat,
she's out eating right now with friends.
What's Jason talk about?
Whatever.
Because I'll guarantee you what she'll say is, guy never opens his mouth. I'm doing all the talking.
He shows himself.
Yeah.
And we don't, but I don't know him. But I don't know him. But he shows himself through comments like this.
Right there.
Because he doesn't talk. That means you don't talk.
I don't know what he, I forgot what his voice sounds like. I'm glad he's on radio with you guys. It reminds me of his voice. Oh. Man, give me a break.
Oh, you got to get out more, kid. You got to get out more. You do. You got to get out more. You'd be a happier guy if you went out to eat.
I'm a happy guy now.
And just sat
down. I just
down
went to,
and enjoyed the
I go out to eat
experience.
All the time. When I go to Texas Roadhouse, I don't want to go in there. Okay?
Well, I understand that.
I don't want to go in there.
I get it.
It's too crowded. It's too long of a wait. It's too noisy. But I like their food, so when I get Texas Roadhouse, I order curbside pickup. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Many restaurants I'll go to.
Both you guys are making sense. Here's the problem. You don't listen
I hate
to
when
each
that
other,
happens.
But you both make sense. Because going out is part of an experience when you go out to eat, because you're chatting, you're having a good time, maybe have a beer, blah, blah, blah. But if you're just hungry, you like the food, you want to pick it up to go home, then you call curbside and you pick it up
right,
and go home.
That's what I do. It's not like every meal is I go to pick up.
But what's the problem with going to the restaurant like Jeff said? What's that?
Because Jeff's an idiot.
Not in this one. He's not an idiot.
Thank you.
We'll be back. We're going to make picks. We got a bonus game. This thing is really tightened up at the top. As you knew it would.
Well, I allowed it.
Just taking me a little while to find my groove. I'm in my groove. Back in a minute.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Ryder remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthony joins us on the hotline. Max is there. We've got the three of us. We're going to make our picks. I'm going to give you the updated standings.
Oh, you're excited. You must have had a really good week.
I did have a good week, but it was really more that you guys had terrible weeks.
Yeah, well.
I had a pretty good week. Got my bonus game right. Got a bunch of other games right. Went 6-2. So, yeah, I'm a point behind Duda. and I've passed Jeff.
Hold on, Bob.
I don't
Bob.
Really get it going until Thanksgiving.
Attaboy.
I got you at 245. I got you at 245 and dude it at 255.
Max,
your math
I'm
is off.
I'm the official guy.
Your math is
Go
off.
Go away.
Padding.
You're done. You're
Anthony,
fired.
Do you think
You're
he's
done.
Padding?
I'm tired of having this argument, yeah, Max. I really am. I got the game. You do your job.
I trust Max's more.
Good. Here we go. UNLV and Boise State in the championship game of the Mountain West. Two good teams. Boise State, a 4.5-point favorite. This is a tough game to start out with. I like it because it's at Boise, so I'm going Boise for 3. Jeff?
Yeah, Boise State, their running back's trying to... I don't know. A lot of fans want him to win the Heisman. I think media types are probably more on Travis Hunter. But I'm sure he wants to have a good game and a national spotlight. I'll start it off big. Boise for 8.
Really?
Yes.
That's surprising, Duda. You going to go that big?
No, not at all. Not in college. You never know what's going to happen in these games. Do I agree with you? Yeah, I think Genty goes for 202.
He goes for that every week.
Exactly. So that's what I think he's going to do. I just don't know. It's college. I'll give Boise State 3.
Boise for 3. You're
NFL's
on,
pretty unpredictable,
you're
too,
on board
friend.
With me. Max?
UNLV lost to Boise at home, so I'm going with Boise for 2. They're at home.
But only 2.
Yeah, I had
Anthony.
Well, I can't get no worse, and they're playing on the Smurf turf. And it's Gente's last home game. He's going to go out in the bang. So I'm going to go Boise State 5.
All right. Different levels of confidence, but everybody going with Boise. In the Big 12 title game, who would have thought? I guess Iowa State was kind of thought to be pretty good, but Arizona State, my goodness. Here they are in the Big 12 championship game, and they're favored by 2.5 over the aforementioned Cyclones. Jeff.
These picks brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. And Arizona State is without their big-time receiver. He's hurt. I don't feel super confident, but I am going to go with Ohio State for 3. Iowa State for 3.
Iowa State for 3. Duda.
Hey, I don't like this one at all. Arizona State's been on a roll, though. So I'm just going to take Arizona State for 1.
Max, how do you feel about this one?
I'm with Duda on this one. Arizona State's in the desert. I'll take them for 1 as well.
Anthony.
Arizona State at home, and if I remember that place the way it used to be when it was raucous, it's going to be a daunting task for Iowa State. So I'm going Arizona State for 3.
Wait, that game's not at Arizona State.
It's not?
Yeah, it's a Big 12 championship game. Oh, it's a Jerry World.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I'm still sticking with my 3 spot. 3 is a magic number.
ASU for 3.
ASU for 3. Bank it.
Boy, I find this game very difficult, but I think Iowa State's going to figure out a way. I've got them for 2. No confidence. Here's the bonus game. The bonus game is a 10-pointer. You can bet as many as 10 points, as few as 1. The trick here is that if you miss it, you lose those points. Not a risk in the other games we pick, but it is here. Georgia and Texas for the SEC title. Texas favored by 2.5. Woo. Jason Duda.
Did Georgia not go into Texas and absolutely destroy them? Yes, they did. Now, has Georgia been a little up and down? Yeah, but it's time now. This is a gift. Georgia for 10.
Dumb. No wonder I win this every year. I mean, my God.
Yeah, well, no wonder.
Look at your math.
Just a ridiculous pick.
Good math.
Yeah, the math's fine.
Yeah.
Max, who do you have?
And George has been too Jekyll and Hyde. I can't trust him. I'll take Texas for 6.
Wow. There's 2 different ones. Anthony, what about you?
Oh, Sark has some game tape. He's going to fix some mistakes that they made from that first game. it's going to swing in Texas' favor. I'm going Longhorns, even though I can't stand to say that name, but I'm going Longhorns for 8.
This is I knew this game would be all over the place because it's a tough one to pick. I don't understand how you clowns can pick it for 10. Georgia did win in Austin quite a while back. It means nothing. That game means nothing. And when you bid 10 on it, as if it does, you've shown that you don't really know football.
Mm-hmm. Who's winning?
Ooh. Texas for 5. Jeff.
And you just lost everything you gained last week.
So your logic is when you use the result of a previous game between these exact two teams to base a prediction on their next game, that means you don't know football.
Loser.
Just because that was a dumb thing to say, I'm going to go with Jason. I'm going to stick with him. And I've got Georgia 4-10.
Yes, you do.
Bye-bye, oh, Bob. Max.
Bye-bye,
Max
Bob.
And Anthony, we reeled them in again.
Oh, jeez.
Just like last week. Next up is the Big Ten title game. Oregon, the favorite against Penn State by 3.5. We start with Max on this one.
Yeah, I like the Ducks at home. Undefeated. They're number one.
They're not at home. These games are at neutral sites.
But they're the Ducks. I'm taking the Ducks for 7. I don't trust Penn State.
Anthony.
I think I'm going to go with the Ducks as well. And I'm going to say Ducks 6.
Oregon for 6.
Oregon for 6. I like Oregon in this one for 8. I think this is the one game that could get away from Penn State. You know how I feel about Penn State. Every time they get on a big stage, they fall off the stage. Jeff.
That hook worries me a little bit because Oregon has had some close games and some close calls. But Penn State is never – they don't win these games. We've talked about it about James Franklin a lot, so I'm going to take Oregon for 7.
Now the game is, by the way, this game in Indianapolis. Duda?
Well – Oregon hasn't looked great the last few weeks. I agree with you guys on Penn State, but they seem to show up a little bit here and there. Do they win the big games? No. But do they lose by 3 a lot? Yes, they do. So I'm going to take Penn State for 1.
You already picked 1.
2.
What a clown show over here. I can't believe I'm trailing you.
Yeah, isn't it interesting?
What'd you
Next,
pick
we've
Oregon
got the
for,
ACC.
Bob?
Pardon me?
What'd you pick Oregon for? I'm sorry.
Oregon for 8.
Look at you.
Clemson and SMU. Strange. They're playing for the ACC championship, and they're playing this game in Charlotte. Clemson getting 2.5 points. We start with Anthony here.
So they're playing this game in Charlotte, North Carolina, nowhere near South Carolina. So Clemson might get some hate.
Actually, it's fairly close.
It's right next door, Anthony.
They have the same name.
You know how them people are in North Carolina and South Carolina. They can't stand each other. So North Carolina, Clemson's a hated team. So I'm going to go with the upstart SMU team. And they're going to do a reincarnation of the Pony Express and run all over Clemson. I'm going to drop what do I have left? I'm going to drop a 4 spot on there.
4 spot. His confidence is in the college game. Clemson SMU, difficult game. I want SMU to win. I'm going to pick them, but not for much. Not much confidence. SMU for 1. Jeff.
Clemson had a chance last week. I mean, they got into the ACC championship game. They still have their chance to get into the playoff, but it seems like when they've been faced with a true test this season, they've pretty much failed at every stop. I've got SMU for 4.
SMU for 4. More confidence. Duda, what about you?
I'm with Jeff and Anthony on this. I've kind of liked SMU this year, the story. They're playing well. I've never been a big Clemson fan, so I'm with them. SMU for 4.
Well, I don't care who you've been a fan of. It's who's the better team.
When I got the mic and I'm talking, I can say whatever I want.
If you're picking as a fan, no wonder you're struggling.
Struggling and winning all
Max,
the same time.
You're next.
Didn't that SMU lose? Didn't Clemson lose to North Carolina or something recently? So, and I heard
South Carolina.
I heard from Paul Savage that SMU is on the rise. So I'm going with SMU for 8. Thanks, Paul Savage.
Well, they are 11-1.
I got so much I could say right now.
I know.
If you're following all right, let's get
a former Division I football player.
Let's get to the NFL.
In the Southwest Conference.
Yeah, he knows. Right.
Thank you.
Let's get to the NFL and some good games, including the best game of the week tonight, in my opinion, Green Bay and Detroit, Thursday Night Football. I start this one, Detroit giving 3.5 points at home. Detroit's banged up. Green Bay's played really well lately. I still like Detroit in this game for 4. Jeff.
It's not your typical Thursday night game because both of these teams have had a week to rest and recover. I think it's going to be a 3-point game, though. The hook brings me back to Green Bay for 2.
Duda.
Yeah, this should be a good one. I'm looking forward to this one tonight if I can stay awake for it. But Detroit is banged up. They got 3 linemen out. Green Bay's looked a little bit better. I'm all over Green Bay in this. I think this is going to be, at worst, a close game. So give me Green Bay for 7.
They're really good at home. They're not so good away.
Did you watch them on Thanksgiving against Chicago? They weren't that good.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So
Max,
what you said makes no sense.
Good luck.
You don't know football either.
Yeah, a lot of Detroit is banged up, and I just trust Love more than I trust Jared Goff. I'm going with the Pack for 4.
I'm so thankful I do this show with people. Here's a knowledgeable guy. Anthony, what do you got?
I can't believe he called him Jared Goff.
It's not good.
Integrity in class.
We got a lot of haters on this show.
Anyway, I'm not one of them. This Green Bay Detroit game not too long ago. But everybody's talking about Detroit banged up. Detroit's banged up, and everybody's showing a lot of love for Green Bay, pardon the pun. But it's at home. But I'm going to go 1 confidence point on Detroit. It's a home game. You got to factor that in.
Detroit for 1. All right, there you go. Detroit won this game by 10 earlier on the frozen tunnel.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. You already told us it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
The previous
but,
game
for you
make,
to pick
make
Green
sense.
Bay by 7 is moronic. From Buffalo and the Rams in L.A. Is this their trap game? The Rams are underdogs by 3.5 points. We start with Jeff.
You call me angry, but you've been a tyrant during this segment, and it's not a good look.
We all are just making terrible picks, but I'm glad. Go,
good.
Jeff.
You're terrible.
Then you should be happy.
Make another bad pick.
This is a team with a huge home field advantage playing on the road in a place where there really is no home field advantage. So you got to go with just what the season has told you, and that would be Buffalo for 6.
Buffalo for 6. Jason Duda.
Rams at home, totally different. Allen on the road, I get it. He's going to run, but this is going to be a close game too. Absolutely. It's a 3-point game. So what do, Jeff, in that point?
You take the hook.
You take the hook, and you take the home team, the Rams, for 5.
Love it. Max?
Josh Allen is a California kid. Aaron Donald's not going to be there. Bills for 6. Easy.
And just got engaged to Hallie Steinfeld, right?
I don't like that.
Anthony.
Yeah, he just got engaged. That's going to be his kryptonite. No, I'll take that back. But I am going to lay 2 on the Rams to cover. It's a home game.
I don't get it. Buffalo, clearly the team here for 7. Next, we got a couple more games to go. Atlanta on the road to face the Vikings. Vikings, nobody talks much about the Vikings, but here they are. 6.5-point favorite. One of the favorites in the NFC, I would say. Duda, you start.
Atlanta's looked awful their last three games. Lost all three. Cousins threw four picks. But he's going home in a revenge game. What happens? I'll tell you what happens, Bob. He's going to throw four more. Minnesota covers this. Minnesota for six.
Easy pick. Max?
Yeah, Vikings coming off a loss. They're talking about thinking about benching Cousins, so I'll take the Vikings for three.
Vikings aren't coming off a loss.
The Vikings, we all took the Vikings last week. Didn't they lose? Oh, they didn't cover.
They didn't cover, but they won.
That's they like won, a, but they didn't cover.
Yeah, that was a loss to me.
Anthony, what's your pick?
I heard somebody talk about Kirk Cousins. This is a revenge game. Can I share something with you? Kirk Cousins is not Jerry Jeudy. So, no, not going to happen. I'm laying seven on Minnesota.
Yeah, I like Minnesota here for six. Jeff?
I just can't pull the trigger on Minnesota. All their games are close. They've been close against terrible teams. They've gone to overtime when, you know, they should have won games in regulation. Atlanta for one.
Good luck on that one. And finally, the Chargers are in Kansas City to face the Chiefs on Sunday night. Kansas City, a 4.5-point favorite. You guys went hog wild on them last week in your confidence game. Tried to tell you. Max, you start us off here.
I like the former San Diego Chargers for five in this one. Herbert will be the man.
I thought Josh Allen was the man.
Oh, Josh Allen is the man, but in this game.
Yes. Kansas City, I don't think they've ever covered the spread this year. And they had a chance to do it against the Raiders, and they didn't do it. So I don't think they're going to do it this time. So I'm dropping eight on the Chargers. Bank it.
Wow. I like that pick. That's a brave pick. It certainly has some merit to it. I think Kansas City's about ready to lose some games. And I think this is one they may very well lose. I like the Chargers in this one. Not a ton of points. I like them for, gosh, what do I have left? Maybe I do have to pick for a ton of points. One, two, three. Sorry. This is good radio.
I think you have five, Bob.
No.
I do have the five-pointer left, so that's what I'm going to go with. Chargers for five. Jeff?
If this were a 5.5-point spread, I'd be totally Chargers. It's a little scarier at 4.5, but I'm still going to go with LAC for five.
Duda, do you have it in you to go against the field here?
Well, normally, yes, but it's the Chiefs. They can't beat anybody by anything. Chargers for eight. Put it in the book.
Put it in the book for the Chargers
Clean
for
sweep.
Eight. There you go. Lots of different kinds of picks today. Thank you, Anthony. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
We only have a couple minutes. Our picks go long because you guys are so ill-informed, and yet you just talk and talk.
Well, that's what happens when you're in the lead.
I suppose. I got to pick a defense to replace my defense, and I don't know who to pick.
Do you need to win to get into the playoffs? Where are you at?
Well, I mean, I'm in good shape to get into the playoffs, but I'd like to win my match this week.
You can't be that
good. I think I'll pick the Saints. They play the Giants.
Well, that's Drew Locke starting for the Giants. Man, that'd be a tough one.
Pretty solid pick.
Pretty tough. I'm sitting all my guys. I'm giving them a rest for 2 weeks. Doesn't matter if I win or not this week.
Nah.
I'll give them a rest this week. Then I get a bye, so I'll rest them next week. Then I'll put them back in the lineup.
What a strategy.
It's pretty smart.
Yeah, that's a great strategy.
Thanks, man.
We hope you win that league.
Well, it's your league, so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care.
You won't win it.
I don't care who wins it. I'm just trying to get to the playoffs.
Unless you win it, and then you'll
And
care.
Then we'll hear about it.
Well, I mean, it's like anything else.
It is. That's true.
If I win it, then we hear about it. More prominent.
If you win it, the league has merit. If you don't win it, it's worthless.
It's exactly. Another league.
Just another one.
Unless I win it.
Yeah. Well, we know. That's how you operate. It's disappointing sometimes.
Oh, well, it can be for sure.
But it's okay.
You're not the first two people I've disappointed. I don't know where that came from.
I don't either, but it's...
Are you having a tough time today?
Speaking the truth, though, at least.
No, I don't have any tough time ever.
Never. You've never had a tough time.
I just get up in the morning and roll. Go with it. Let's go. Let's see where the day leads us.
What a good player.
Thank you.
What a life.
Unbelievable.
What do you got going tonight?
I don't know.
I'm going to watch the football game. This is a good one.
I'll check it out.
Not every Thursday night game gets my attention, but Green Bay Detroit is for real.
But if I jump on Amazon Prime, I'll probably be lured to Pop Culture Jeopardy, so it's tough.
What?
What?
That this is a guy who, you know, he moved to the boondocks 3 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, we know.
And he's starting to get a little more strange every year.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Well, you should.
Take it as any way you want.
I will.
So you believe it in your heart, Jeff?
Isolation.
It's got to be true. That's right.
Isolation can affect people.
No, as we've noticed.
With
being
him?
Down here.
What do you mean?
I just say it.
Go get your
There's Max side. Playing the music. We appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk with Eric Adams, the head girls basketball coach at Wellington, as well as Joanna Chadwick. It'll be the three-man booth. We'll play a game. See you then.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.